You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Rejoice in it, he said. Ah, get physical. Rejoice in it. There ought to be a praise coming out your mouth. You ought to have a hand that goes up every now and then. If you can't raise your hand, you quicken a little bit. But there ought to be some physical characteristic that you know it's not staying this way. Ow! Then notice, he said, but I must also with the renewed mind be patient in my tribulation. Oh, watch this. Why am I patient in my tribulation? Because I rejoice in hope. Why do I rejoice in hope? Because I'm patient in my tribulation. Lord, help me. You're going through something right now. You're in here today. You're going through something. Be patient in your hope. Just rejoice in it. Rejoice in it. You in trouble, rejoice. It's going to be all right. God's promised not to give you more than you can bear. Secondly, he has promised that the works of the devil will not overtake you. Third, he said no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. Fourth, he said this light affliction is but for a moment. And when it's over, you are going to bring forth the glory. You've got all these promises that tell you whatever. Whatever state you're in is not going to be your permanent place. So there ought to be a praise that comes out your mouth. There ought to be a thanksgiving when your body is saying, I'm tired. Your spirit ought to say, it's all right. Hey, glory. All life is
a series of mental adjustments. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, that man has walked out on you. The devil will come up to you and say, see, you ain't no good. He don't want you. And you start believing that. What you need to do is listen to the gospel by the fifth dimension. When he walks out, you don't say, I'm no good. You say, one less bell to answer, one less egg to fry. Glory to God. What is happening? Your mind's been renewed. When God causes somebody to walk out, let them go. Don't look at it like you lost something. Look at it like this. God has just made room for your blessing. The reason why your blessing couldn't come, oh, glory to God. If God were to make you the wrong person's rib, you'd get indigestion. You've got to wait till he gives you to the rib. Oh. That's why people get divorced so fast. There are no Tums for a bad marriage. You're the wrong rib. You're a short rib to somebody who needs a Texas rib. Texas ribs are twice as long as a North Carolina short rib. Lord, I wish I had somebody who knew ribs. See, y'all too busy eating turkey. You don't understand my message. Maybe you need a St. Louis rib. A St. Louis rib don't have sauce, but it's got a rub on it. And the rub, Lord help me, the sauce is just on top, but the rub is down on the inside. Maybe you're getting tired of that person with sauce who just has an outward appearance. You want somebody that loves you when you're up and loves you when you're down. Somebody who loves you when you got money and when you're broke. Somebody who loves you when you're well and when you're sick. Somebody who'll give their life. Tell God, send me my St. Louis rib. Now, if you got one, you can't ask for another one. My mama used to say, eat the one stuff on your plate. I said, Mama, I don't like this. It makes me sick. Too bad. I'll give you some Maalox afterwards. So Paul says, I rejoice in hope. How many of you rejoice in hope? Don't raise your hand. Just say it to yourself. Then he says, how many of you are patient in tribulation? Don't raise your hand. You know you're lying. Then he says, and then you must continue instant in prayer. Well, now let's dissect that. If I cannot continue in something that was instant, because when I continue, it's no longer instant. But here's what he's saying. Because I know God is working it out, whatever situation I find myself in, my response is instant prayer. He's saying that as my situation changes, I'm going to continue being instant in prayer. I'm not giving that up. I'm not going to stop praying just because I'm a little older in Christ. And some of us do that. When we were first saved, we were at prayer all the time, praying out loud, calling on God. But now we've gotten to the sedity part of Christianity. We just sit in a chair and rock back and forth. You ain't praying, you're going to sleep. You're just tired from the day. No. God creates situations to keep you instant in prayer. Will you call on the name of the Lord? Will you bring him your trouble? Will you cast your care on him? When you stop trying to hold on to your problems, when you stop trying to determine if you did something wrong, because if you take the blame for your situation, then you're going to take the credit when things go right. So you got to give it all to Jesus. Your ups, your downs, your backwards and forwards, your round the corners and under the buildings. Cast it all onto him. What is prayer? Yeah. James said, when I pray and don't get the answer I desire, I'm asking improperly. In the book of Revelation, it says that there are prayers that are stored up in heaven. You and I both agreed last week that God isn't storing in heaven my request for a new car. He's not storing in heaven my request for a new lover. He's not putting those things in the jar in heaven, and I wouldn't want him to. But what is it about prayer that makes it such a dynamo? And yet we don't understand it. We talk to God about things, but not about God. The Bible is its own best interpreter. Jesus says some things that really are not related to prayer. When Jesus was asked to teach his disciples how to pray, he gave them what we call the model prayer. The model prayer means that your prayer must contain the following elements, else it is not effective. He says that all true prayer must contain first a reverence for God. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I must understand who he is, where he is, and just what it is he wants me to bring to him. And then I pray for the advancement, the acceleration, if you will, of the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come, but that is in direct connection with his will being done. Brothers and sisters, most of what we pray for in this secular, ungodly world has nothing to do with the kingdom. It has nothing to do with his will. We have surmised that God wants me to have things that I want. But then Jesus throws in this qualifier that does seem to muddy the water. He says, "Give me this day my daily bread." The text suggests that we are able to go to God and ask him to take care of what I need, today. That causes us to develop some mental anxiety. What about tomorrow? Most of us in here, our mortgages and rents are due the first of the month, and you don't have the money. God says it's only the 13th of the preceding month. God, but I need it now. No, you don't. You need it on the first. Now, I guarantee you that as the time gets closer and he has not answered, anxiety sets in because you don't know where it's coming from. At that point, when worry comes, you've just called God a liar. You've just said he can't supply your need. Now watch. You've agreed that the scripture says over there in Matthew's gospel, Jesus said that thing, you need faith to drive that thing out. Right? And that particular spirit can only be removed by the consistency of fasting and prayer.
If you are fasting and praying and being instant in prayer, what room is there for anxiety? Even though, listen, how many days are in January? 31, right? All right. Your rent, mortgage, or whatever is due the 1st of February. God has not responded to you as of yet. The 31st of January comes. God has not responded yet. How much more time does he have? To 11:59 on the 1st. Now, how will you pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, you see my mortgage is due. I need this, Father. If I don't have it by the 1st, watch. They're going to put me out. If I don't have it by the 1st, Father, they're going to start the process of getting rid of me. God says, I promise to supply your need. Yeah, but you got to do it now. If you don't do it now, I'm going to suffer repercussions. How do you pray? How do you pray? Listen very carefully to my next statement, and you will find your answer. A couple of years ago, the Lord says, I want you to build a new church. I said, okay, Lord. In my mind, I started thinking, I'm so glad that we are financially, we're in good shape with the banks. Our Dun & Bradstreet rating is A++++. I said, Lord, we're all right. He said, I want you to build it without a mortgage. And I said to him, I said, Father, I've never heard this before. I said, I've never heard this before since the book of Exodus. You know what he said to me? He said, nobody ever asked me. He said, most of my leaders ask me to touch bankers, but they've never asked me to touch the people. Now, your stuff is due on the 1st. How you going to pray? See, you still ain't getting it. No one has ever asked me to touch the people. They've asked me to have the bank, let them have a good relationship with the bank so they can have more debt. No one says, Lord, touch the mortgage company or touch the real estate person to give me more time. It's like my emergency becomes your emergency. And if I don't get it when I want it, I start having anxiety attacks. Do you know what anxiety attacks are saying to God? You're a liar and I don't believe you. And the result of me not believing you is panic. Every January, I start going to see doctors to get my physicals from everybody. Start with the feet all the way up. I get every system checked because I want to give God a good body to flow through. And this January was no different. But something was strange about this. In December of last year, God told me what my numbers were going to be in the significant areas. And then, and in December, when he started telling it to me, I'm like, why are you doing this to me? And so then I had to go. I always get my blood work before I go see the doctor, so the doctor will have it when I get there, because I hate going and then they got to do it afterwards. So I went up to get it, and the enemy started fighting me. Everything's going to be out. You're going to have to take a sabbatical from pastor. That wasn't a bad suggestion, but. You know, he was trying to tie it in under, you know, you're under a lot of stress. All your numbers are going to be wrong. And God had already told me what they were going to be when I was calm. So when you hear something when you're in anxiety, it's not God, because God doesn't speak through anxiety. He speaks when you're calm. Are you hearing me? Now, how do you pray? Watch. Do I pray, Lord, cause? Now, remember, these tests are the results of how you treated yourself for 6-8 months, right? So do I go to God and say, Lord, make all my numbers right, even though I abused my body for 6 months? Guy at the doctor's office told me when I went in, he took my blood pressure. He said, "Oh, everything's good." He said, "You doing what you're supposed to do?" Yep. He said, "People come in here and they've eaten Chinese food the night before, and they get their blood pressure checked. All the sodium in there causes your numbers to go up. So you know you've been eating improperly, and your blood pressure is going to be checked tomorrow. And you know today, while you watch that game, you're going to have pork rinds and corn chips and salted pretzels, and you're going to have, you know, hot wings and all that stuff. And you're going to sit there and say, 'Father, help my numbers be low.'" James says you're asking amiss. And then when it's not low, you'll say, "God, in the name of Jesus, the devil is a liar." And he's way across town. He's saying, I am a liar, but I ain't lying about what you've been eating. You see, so what we do, it's not our fault. We've been programmed to bring things to God that are irrelevant. You're a man asking God for a wife. You don't have a job. You live at home with your mama. Now, I'm not knocking that. God bless you. If it works for the two of you, God bless you. But why would you go get a wife and bring her home to your mama's house, and now your mama's got to take care of you and your wife? But you're praying that God would give you a wife, and you don't have what he said you needed to take care of them. You're asking amiss. So when you don't get it, you go, somebody will tell you, you just got to believe God. For what? We're praying improperly. Amen. Watch this. Go to Romans. I love this. Go to Romans chapter 8. Now, we gotta do this thing in context, okay? We can't separate and isolate because there are conjunctions. And a conjunction means they all join together. So the place where this starts is verse 16. "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected him in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, that is, the redemption of our bodies. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is not seen, hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that which we don't see, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses." Listen, "the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought." He never says we don't know how to pray. He says we don't know what to pray for the right way. Example, your best friend, your family member, your BFF is sick unto death. They ask you to come and pray. How should you pray? We are prone to go in and assume that we're going to pray for their healing. But what you don't know is it's their time to go. So how do you pray? Now, most of us sitting here will answer in the way that it's not wrong. But the reality is, in our lives, we pray selfishly. We don't want them gone. We want to keep them around longer. Now, isn't it amazing? We'll ask God to keep our moms and dads and family members around longer but we won't give time to care for them. We have to hire, Beata or somebody to come in. But you prayed that God would keep them there. Why? Why? When you won't even take time to help them. You won't change a diaper, won't change a bedpan, won't unwrap a bloody bandage, won't do anything, won't bring them a cup of soup. But you just want them there. Now, God looks down the annals of time, and he sees that that person, if they were continued to live, he sees that they would be abused, that they would be ignored, that they'd be pushed off into a home and only visited once every month. So he exercises unilateral control and calls them home. And you stand and say, God, why'd you take them? I believed you, Lord. For what? To keep them here, Lord. Really? You weren't giving up your dates, your personal activities. You weren't giving up your basketball games and your skating outings. You wouldn't even check them to see if they had bed sores. But you wanted me to keep them alive. You prayed. And I overrode your prayer and I looked out for them. So I took them home. And because I'm just, then no human can say I'm unjust. Nobody can blame me. Doesn't that bust our Pentecostal balloon? That stuff shouldn't happen when we pray contrary to it. Saints of God, pray for me. I have a chance to get this job. Pray for me, saints. And the whole church prays for you, and you still don't get it. Who's at fault? Well, the real spiritual Pharisaical people will tell you, you didn't have the faith. The Sadduceical people would say the devil just wanted to keep it from you. But the realistic people would say, just wasn't God's will. And you ever notice how we're never comfortable with the observation of the will of God?
We pray that you were blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title,
The Power of Prayer,
or the program number
01219P.
If you'd like to view the Climbing Higher daily telecast, tune in to WBPH-TV on Comcast Cable, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Please check your local cable listings for the channel number in your region. To stream Bethel's Sunday services live, visit BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app on iTunes or Google Play. We stream live on Sundays beginning at 8:15 a.m. and 12 p.m. You're also invited to join us in person by attending any of our Sunday services taking place at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m. at our main sanctuary located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Winco, PA. For more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
The Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. is part of the media outreach ministry of Bethel Deliverance International Church. Our goal is to reach the world with powerful messages of faith, truth, and victory taught from the Word of God. You can take part in this significant mission by becoming a media partner. Your weekly, monthly, or one-time gift goes directly towards reaching the masses with life-changing messages of hope from God's Word. We invite you to visit the BethelDeliverance.org media link for more information about the media partnership. You may also contact the media outreach representative at 215-885-2585 to make a donation. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. We appreciate your support.